Hi, this is psychic medium CJ Sellers of the Carrie Stone and CJ Sellers Show. You can visit us at www.sellers2broads.com.
Yeah. Shadow governments, strange rituals, new world
shadow
order,
governments, strange
buried treasure,
new
planetary
mind control,
military
cover-up, corporate shadow governments, strange rituals, new world order, buried treasure, planetary mind control,
unidentified flying
objects,
presidential assassinations,
unidentified flying objects, presidential assassinations,
ancient rites,
populations,
pyramids,
freemasons,
fascists,
illuminators,
fascists,
apocalypse,
Apocalypse, bizarre,
bizarre under,
out there,
out there,
out there,
out there,
out there,
out there. It's a strange world.
Visit outthereradio.net for more information.
You are listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
And the party continues. This is the last regularly scheduled show.
Yeah, man. Of 2006. It's almost kind of sad. But
it is kind of sad because it's been such a cool year, you know.
At the same time, it's really, really a great occasion. We get to speak with absolutely fascinating guests.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, we get to, you know, talk about the past year and the upcoming year a little bit here and there.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be a lot of things coming up for 2007. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag yet, but wow. Are we going to be busy?
Oh my gosh, I've seen some of the plans.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really new ground being cut. It's going to be really cool. It's going to be really exciting. But in the meantime.
I'm very excited to get our guest on. So mm-hmm. Let me read the little snippet and see what we can do for the next hour. Barb was born and raised in Nova Scotia, Canada, and now resides in Saskatchewan. A psychic medium since birth, she has conscious memories of spirit communication since the age of 5. As a young adult, she struggled with the stereotypical idea of the paranormal. She and haven't we all?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But she entered this period of her life by ignoring her abilities. She describes this time as going through life with a veil over her eyes, going through the motions of life without really seeing or feeling, because she was denying who and what she really was. Ignoring who she was caused her to lose herself. Today, she has embraced her abilities, and the veil has lifted, revealing a happy, content person. Her website is www.sacred-connections.us. And Merry Christmas and welcome to Ghostly Talk, Barb Powell.
How are you doing tonight, Barb?
Hello.
Hi, I'm doing great, thanks.
You like that, don't you? Actually, you did a very good job, I have to say, Doug. That's like the first one of 2006 that we did that was
that
a really good intro.
We did not slaughter the intro, I know.
We didn't know. So, Barb, I mean, you got a really good Christmas present from us, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, that was read very well.
We don't tend to do that.
Yeah, usually it's
stumble and fumble, and then we go, oh, okay, here's your website. Like, sorry, but no, that was really good. I wonder if we're getting good at this. Barb, you ignored your abilities for that long, and you know what's interesting? Now, we're ghost hunters, right? That's what we do. That's why it's called Ghostly Talking.
Mm-hmm.
Amateur ghost hunters and amateur broadcasters, obviously both. And what we do is we go out and about. We look for, you know, communications. We look for signs. We look for, you know, little aberrations in photographs. We record things trying to get just a little peep, you know, a little anything, even a get out on recordings. We look for anything. And as I was reading the bio and learning about you, I was like, oh my gosh, she has this thing that's just magnificent. But because of society, you know, look what happened. And, you know, for years. And so what was it like going through all that?
This thing. Yeah, I do have this thing, I suppose. It's kind of hard to explain, I guess. But I guess in the time or the era that I was particularly born into, like I said, my family, my mother, my parents, they didn't really get into this paranormal thing. So when I started seeing colors around people and saying things to certain people, they didn't know what to make of it, I guess, or how to explain it away. That's just who I was. You know, and of course kids can be cruel sometimes, so when you're talking about somebody's, you know, dead grandfather standing beside them and giving them all these details, that doesn't really go over well when you're 6 years old, so in grade school. So, you know, in time you get to figure out that, you know, there's certain things you should say, certain things that you shouldn't, and know what society, I guess, is the norm in society. So, and that's just basically what I learned until, you know, I came to a point in my life where I just, you know, I was more able to accept things, I suppose, and just didn't care really what other people thought and just did my thing, because that's what I'm supposed to do, I feel, anyways.
And that takes time. That takes time. It takes growing up.
It takes maturity to get, really go, hey, you know what? I'm done worrying about.
Because, you know, in junior high, for example, you're really, really, everybody is really self-conscious about everything. And, you're going through all the body changes. And
going through.
Yeah, exactly.
And Gowan's still going through.
That's Gowan. And I'm telling you that, you know, you learn about society and you learn about the cruelty of society, and you were learning even earlier than that, and that's just, it's kind of sad. But at the same time, did it help? Did you have to go through that?
You know, I think that I did, and just because I do what I do and have a little bit of insight doesn't mean that I have 100% insight into every aspect of my life, because I'm still, you know, learning and growing throughout my particular life as well. So, I think I did have to go through that, and as well as, you know, other setbacks in my own particular life, because I do feel that it helps in the work that I do to be able to understand my own clients a lot better through what they're particularly going through as well. So I think I did have to go through a little bit of that to be able to be more stronger, to have a better backbone, because I was a very quiet child. I'm not particularly like that anymore.
Good to hear.
How old were you when you started embracing it?
Oh, goodness. You know what? I probably was about, oh, goodness, probably 24 when I started to think, you know, I just can't hold this back anymore. It's ridiculous, because it's becoming more and more part of my life that I couldn't just ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think when I completely opened up my business and had my business license and just went full force with everything, including media and stuff like that, probably took about 5 years from then, because I mean, I knew that there was going to be a little bit more setbacks, you know, becoming more popular or more out there, I guess, or putting my name out there. So yeah, I mean, there's good and bad with everything, I think.
Well, absolutely. I mean, doing this sort of thing, I mean, I think what a lot of people don't realize is when someone finds out that, you know, person Y finds out person X is a medium or a clairvoyant of some sorts, person Y goes, kind of looks towards person X as more of an authority figure on certain things, right? I think what some people neglect to realize in that situation is that you're just as human as they are. Sometimes people get this superhuman aspect about people, and you just said yourself, you're like, I'm still learning about myself here too. There's things about, and I'm sure it's the same thing to this day too with you, where it's like, you know, look, there's things that you grow and you learn and you change, and as you grow and learn, you have these things we refer to called growing pains.
Yeah.
I know Gowan has them very regularly.
He's
having one right now. But you have those, and that's part of growing up. That's part of becoming a better person. I mean, it's the same thing, I think, for psychics, too. I mean, you're just as human as anybody else is. That's the point I'm trying to make here, I think. Right,
Doug? Oh, exactly. Exactly. I've had a ton of people who say, oh, gee, I wish I could do what you do on a regular basis. And yeah, sometimes it can be really interesting, really cool to have, and sometimes it's really not, you know, because like I said, you have setbacks with what you do, and you have good times as well, so it comes hand in hand, I think, with anything that you do in life.
Well, what I've always, the thing that I've always noticed is if I had these, by no means, and everybody knows, I am not clairvoyant in any sort of way, and I've always thought if I was clairvoyant in some ways, and you could, like, kind of see what was on people's minds or whatever, you would, you know, whatever it may be, that would be a horrendous thing, I think, sometimes, because I know there's some really, you know, some really weird people out there, and if you're just like walking along and you happen to look at somebody and kind of see what's going on in their head. I mean, they may be just like looking for, like, you know, trying to buy some apples at the grocery store, but what are they really thinking about at that time?
Sometimes, right? I don't want to know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to know, man. I just like, okay, I'm better off just seeing, okay, that guy over there is buying apples. Good for him. An apple a day keeps a doctor away. He's very healthy. But inside his mind, he might be talking about, you know, thinking about, like you know, clubbing baby seals or something gross like that.
Let's not give examples.
I tried to keep it as watered down as possible.
Yeah, that was watered down.
That was really watered down.
Really nice.
That okay, I'm nice. Sorry, for God's sake. Jeez. All right, sorry. Doug, it's on you now.
It's on me. Barb, when we go to parties, and this will help reinforce what Scott L was saying earlier. When we go to parties and things, we, you know, people end up learning that we're ghost hunters and we do this radio show and things like that. And then all of a sudden we have to listen to, like, every, and I love it. I do. I really love
it. I enjoy it.
I enjoy this a lot. But then that sort of defines the rest of the evening for us.
Yeah, we're done after that.
We cannot no longer talk about news or weather or gossip or anything like that. It defines the entire rest of the evening, and we have to talk all about ghost stories and things like that. You find the same thing?
Well, exactly. And you know, I'm not the type of person that goes out somewhere and just tells people what I do, unless somebody particularly asks. Then I, you know, obviously I have to tell them. But, you know, I'm just who I am, and if I'm out someplace and people don't really know who I am, you know, I can just blend in, basically. But, yeah, I understand that completely what you're saying, that once they find out that I am psychic medium and I'm a profiler, they're, like, you know, expecting me to say something significant or, you know, and I know what they're thinking because I can hear their thoughts. And, you know, that's not what I'm there for. I'm not there to work. I'm not there to do anything. And I'm not the type of person as well that comes right out to a stranger and just says something unless, you know, I'm asked, basically. So, and I know that there's some psychic mediums out there who would just go right up to some stranger and just start saying things to them. I'm not particularly like that. I just go about my business and, you know, live my life. So,
do you find that there are people who resent what you can do, like especially like at this stage of the game?
You know, I've had problems with certain people, I suppose, religious people. Some of them are very open, but I think it depends. I think it depends on how open a particular person is. I've had, I guess, what I call setbacks from people who don't necessarily believe what I do, but have never experienced what I do or seen what I do. So I have a problem with that, you know. And, you know, I find that it's hard for me, too, if I'm sitting down with a client and, you know, they're there to contact, you know, their deceased son or daughter, and I know it's not a good time for them to connect with this person. And I have to tell them just that, you know, I'm sorry, I'm not going to be able to do this for you. And I know how disappointed they are, or they become angry, or, you know, so, yeah, there's some issues that I have, I guess, doing with what I do. But, you know, I do try to follow a strict ethics that I follow anyway, and go from there, because I, you know, I have to do what I do and then trust what I do, so.
Well, I mean, we've talked to many psychics, and that seems to be, I mean, it is a motif with a lot of people. And there is this aspect, yeah. I think, you know, we find, even as ghost hunters, I mean, it's escalating more and more, I think, where, and I've seen the same thing with psychics, too. I've talked to certain psychics where they're like, and you'll be having a nice conversation with them, and you'll mention another psychic's name, like, oh, that person doesn't know anything. Whatever. They don't know anything. They're absolutely ridiculous.
This sounds like the ghost hunting community.
Well, that's all I was going to say. It's kind of getting the same way where, you know, you have people.
Well, instead of the negative stuff about that, I want to find out about the positive stuff. Who were your influences? Who do you look up to?
Oh, goodness. You know, I'm not sure, and I understand exactly what you're saying. I prefer, you know, I hear a lot of things about other psychics and mediums and stuff like that, but I try, anyway, to believe in what I particularly know, and I know that's such a cliche, but, you know, if I haven't met the person, if I haven't spoken to the person, then I really don't know what that person's all about. And it's all good and fine and dandy to listen to somebody else talk about somebody. But, hey, you know. But what I look up to, goodness, I don't know. You know, I've talked to some really good psychics who are out there. Glenn Klausner, I've spoke to him. He's really, really great. And he's on, I think, Bob Olson's number one list for mediums and psychics out there. And he's a great guy. I mean, he'll talk to absolutely anybody and mentor anybody. He has such a pure heart. I've spoken to a person called Sloan Bella. I keep in contact with her. She seems to be very great as well. I've spoken to James Van Prague, did a reading for him. You know, and I've never met him personally, but I have spoken to him on the phone, and seems to be a very interesting guy, and have a lot to say as well. So, you know, there's certain people that I, you know, have spoken to and definitely look up to, because they obviously have put, you know, a good message out there for psychic mediums as well. So those are the only people that I guess I have personally spoken to and met. So
and how is it been going? Like, I know that, for example, the TV shows, the same thing has happened in the ghost hunting community, but the TV shows must have really caused some kind of notoriety for folks who are psychic mediums, and the similar things in the ghost hunting community. So what I'm wondering is, did you notice, like, was that like a big positive force, or did it was it like, oh my gosh, now I can't even move without 87 things to do? Or how did it go for you with those TV shows?
Yeah, I mean, I love watching some of the shows that are out there. Parts of it can be very, very accurate, and some parts are just really far out there, Hollywood type stuff. So, you know, which obviously they have to. I guess it makes things a lot more interesting. yeah. I don't think it's really increased business, you know, I would say that, but, but I think expectations too. I always hate expectations when somebody comes in to, you know, they don't really totally understand what you do. So like I said, I mean, things can have good positive effects. Sometimes they can have a bad effect as well. But I mean, some of the shows out there, like I said, I really, really enjoy watching. So I would think a positive effect, because it gets the word out there as well, you know.
And I love that outlook. I really do, because it's the same thing that I have for the ghost hunting is, you know, the more that gets out there, the more people will talk about it on the internet and amongst themselves and things like that. And people will become a little more educated, it just might take someone who's in junior high now, struggling with all this stuff, right? Being teased by their you know,
peers,
fellow classmates and peers, and say, you know what? This isn't as weird as they're making it out to be. Look, there's all these folks on the internet that went through exactly what I'm going through. I'm going to get over this faster and do what I'm meant to do sooner. And I think that maybe that's all coming to a boiling point right now, and I hope so.
Well, I think.
Well,
go ahead, Barb. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Barb.
Oh, no, I was just going to say. I mean, that's great, because when I was young and watching TV, I mean, they didn't have, as far as I know, anyway, on my three little channels that I had when I was young, shows such as that. You know, and it's a good thing to say that, because I think if it did, then I would have been able to recognize a lot of the things that were going on in my own particular life and actually put a name to it, like, you know, okay, this is normal. That person they're portraying on TV is normal, you know, so she's going through the same thing, and this is what this is called. So I think I would have been able to understand it a lot better instead of trying to hide certain things. So, I mean, that's really great. And I've had people, you know, in my own community and otherwise who have emailed me to ask me, you know, this is what I'm going through. Is this normal? You know, so it's a great thing that, you know, that they do have shows like that on TV and articles. And, I mean, there's paranormal magazines and newspapers out there now. Like, there's tons of things that are happening now, which is good.
Well, there's a lot more media outlets out there, like you were saying. And I think that
exactly. That
number one thing here is education. It really is education for people
right. To
understand these things. Like you said, God, 15 years ago, things are completely different, I think, than 15 years ago. Things are a lot less taboo, it seems. So people are more willing to talk about these things, especially on TV, obviously. Even though, you know, it may not always be the way it really is. We've preached about that left and right.
The Hollywoodization.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it's a means to get someone thinking about these things. That's very important. That's very important, I think. And if you're thinking about it, then, you know, you're developing your own ideas, and, you know, you can actually go out there and get involved with this thing like a lot of people are now. It's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's really important. We need ideas. People, we need ideas in this community now. Different viewpoints, because there's no wrong answer, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there's no wrong answer.
There isn't.
Yeah. Yeah.
When folks come to you, what are they saying? What are they looking for?
Well, you know, it kind of depends. I mean, the way that I prefer to do my readings, I just sit down and just go with the flow. I always like to profile my clients that are coming in. And what I mean by that is basically going through their own energy, their auras, and profiling their personality and go from past, present to future and seeing if there's spirit beside them and just going with the flow. But sometimes there are clients that come to me for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times that comes out in a particular reading. Sometimes they're wanting to connect to a certain somebody who has passed on. Sometimes they're wanting to know, you know, about the cliche things of love, romance, and finances.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So it's a wide variety of things. I think the most interesting was, and I talk about this all the time when I'm on the radio, but I think the most interesting is the person who wanted to connect with her animals. She lives on a farm and was having a problem with her farm animals, especially this donkey, which at first I'm thinking, okay, that's really strange. I've never connected with a donkey before, but hey, it was a very easy reading. And we sailed through it and got through to the problem. So, hey, it takes all kinds, and I'm sure the donkey was very happy afterwards.
Well, that raises kind of an interesting point, though. You're saying that connecting with a donkey, I mean, I'm not
trying
to be funny.
Well, we have that here in the United States on Animal Planet.
Oh, was it a dog whisperer guy or whatever?
They had the pet psychic.
The pet psychic, all right.
Yes.
So,
is that I don't remember.
Pet psychic or something.
That was the name of the show, anyway.
Well,
right.
Is it easier to connect up with animals than it is with human beings?
You know, I don't know if it's easier, per se, but, I mean, animals obviously have a little bit more of what I would call a purer spirit because, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, have bad parts to them. They have a lot more closer, I think, to spirit than actual people are because you don't have somebody telling them that this is taboo and whatnot. And they have different senses, I suppose, than what people would have.
Yeah.
But easier, I don't know. I mean, I've connected with pets who are both living and past as well as with people. So, you know, I don't know. It just depends. With people who have passed on, who have, I guess, that personality of being a lot more open, open to certain things, I find that I'm able to connect with them a lot quicker than somebody who wasn't so open when they were particularly alive. So, but not that I haven't. So,
yeah.
I mean, it just all depends, really. It just really all depends.
Well, that donkey did not go through junior high.
So yeah, yeah.
Have
there you go.
Walls
yeah.
built up and things like that. We do have to go to break.
Yeah, let's take a quick break, Barb.
Sure.
I do want to talk a little bit more about this. I want to talk a little bit more about profiling, too, and how you
profile. I do, too.
I want to kind of get into the meat of what you do a little bit more in the next half hour. In the meantime, let's go.
Yes, enjoy this independent music
yeah.
that's brought to you here on Ghostly Talk during the breaks, and we'll be back right afterwards with more from Barb Powell. Her website, www.sacred-connections.us.
Scott L.
And this is Doug.
This is Ron.
This is John.
And we are all kind of part of this thing we do every month here on Ghostly Talk, entitled The Discussion on the Recreation of the Philadelphia Experiment, being hosted, I should say, not by Doug and myself, but by Dr. Ron Millione and John Hutchison.
And what we do is we talk about their experimentation in recreating the Philadelphia Experiment, how exciting it is, and how the issues and the problems and the fun and the dreams and the hopes to capture it as a documentary for the whole world to see.
You think 1943 was exciting? You think 1943 was the melting point of physics when people disappeared and the government said it never happened? You haven't seen anything yet! Wait till what we're going to recreate in 2007!
Hollywood, get ready for the biggest and greatest show of your life with Ron and John that will make your hair stand up on end and fly out of your seat.
For more information and for the schedule to hear John and Ron, visit www.ghostlytalk.com.
And if nothing else works, just bring the blowtorch and duct tape.
Things in your house that go bump in the night? Do you have flying orbs that come out of your closet? Or are your son or daughter having tea parties with someone who's not there and then telling you about them? Constantly talking about them? Does your son or daughter ever fall down on the floor and their eyes roll back in their head and they start talking backwards, drawing pentagrams on the walls? Perhaps, even, you've seen something come out of their mouth like a huge spectral beam of light, or you photograph something weird. For instance, your dog looking at the ceiling and howling for no reason. If this is you, you may want to download the Louisville Ghost Hunter Society's official podcast at www.louisvillegh.com or on iTunes. Check out our podcast page for more information, and please, do something about your home, because it sounds haunted. Very haunted.
Scott L. through the paces, this last regularly scheduled show of 2006.
Why? Why are you putting me through the paces?
Oh, just before you were about to bring us all back in?
Oh, I had to really listen for that. Yeah, crack that thing. I'm like, oh.
He's like, ah! But,
I'm watching. I'm always watching. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Jason.
He's got it down.
All right!
You're on the
Welcome
payroll.
The
it's official.
Show. Yeah.
Yeah.
We've been talking to psychic medium Barb Powell for the last half an hour. We're going to be talking to her some more. And really what I want to do, if this is cool, is I want to really get into the more meat of what work you do, Barb. As far as you mentioned this thing called profiling. I was wondering if you could explain to us what you actually do when you profile one of your clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I use what I use when I'm working on a certain missing person or crime case. And I normally like to step into somebody, what I call stepping into somebody's energy, which is basically myself, like I said, stepping into someone's energy, seeing the colors that are around them, because each of the colors tell me a little bit about that person, their personality. I see different clips of what they've done in the past. I ask what's bothering this person, what we're having to deal with for this person. That is either hurting them emotionally or physically, that sort of thing. So it's kind of the same way that I do when I'm working on a certain case. If it's a missing person case, I step into that person's energy to see what has actually happened to that person.
Okay.
And then I can usually tell if they've already passed or if they're still living, that sort of thing. So it's just basically stepping into their energy field, basically.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I want to know about the missing person people. When you you work with the authorities, right?
Yeah, I do.
And I see this on court TV all the time, so I have to ask. Has anybody been like, oh, my gosh? I mean, who have you brought around? And what do you get, like, this huge reaction from folks who their day job is just to go in, look at the facts, assemble the clues, and solve the case, and their whole life is all very logical and literal, and then all of a sudden you're in their life for a case. I mean, it's got to be amazing. What happens?
Well, you know, sometimes you get some responses like that, and sometimes you get a lot more questions from authorities of how you actually knew that. So sometimes it can be a little bit scary for yourself as well, because if you're dealing with an authority figure who hasn't really worked with somebody who has been psychic or medium, they kind of draw back and say, well, how did you do that, or how do you know that, or, it's like, well, hello, you contacted me, so...
It's on my business card, it's a psychic.
Yeah, so meanwhile you're saying, oh, geez, what have I done? But no, it's sometimes you get reactions like that, so, and then sometimes you hear about the case afterwards, and sometimes you don't, and sometimes you've worked on, high-profile cases, and some that have been, local cases that haven't gone, into the media. So... it's interesting work, something that I don't do all the time, obviously, because it's just, it's a lot of work, basically, a lot of energy. So,
well, as I was going to say, you're stepping. You said you're stepping into someone's energy when you profile someone. So when you step into their energy, do you actually feel what they are feeling or what they felt if they're no longer with us? Do you actually get those same sensations that they had at the time?
Pretty much, not 100% fold, of course. You know, I can, you know, I can normally tell how the person passed on by using my own senses, of course, and you know, how the person felt, what their thoughts were, and see things through their particular eyes. And sometimes I go into the perpetrator's energy as well. So, you know, it just all depends on the certain case of how I go about getting the information that I get. So.
There's always been, I've seen this, or I've heard this from the people, they're like, well, I've actually been able to feel what they were feeling at the time. And, I mean, gotta be, to me, that seems like that'd be very, very disturbing to have to deal with that on a frequent basis, maybe not all the time, but on a frequent basis. That seems like that wouldn't be too much fun to me. I wouldn't want to deal with that. I mean, more or less just, understanding, I mean, this idea of going into someone's energy field. It seems like there's just a lot of things that could happen to you. When you go into someone's energy field like this, I'm trying to get an insight into like what you actually know, what you're
actually
doing.
It sounds like you've latched on to that.
It's interesting.
Like, I want to know all about it.
Well, it's an interesting idea because, I mean, obviously Barb is going into this person's field. I'm just wondering do you take these with you? I mean,
yeah, is there a lasting effect? I was wondering that too.
There you go. Is there a lasting effect on this?
No. Not for me. I mean, I've done this for a while, so I've learned how to dissociate myself, I guess, from the actual feelings of a person. So, you know, if things are becoming too much for me, you know, I just, you know, brush it off. Like, I don't want to deal with this right now, or I can't work on this. You know, I haven't really necessarily turned down any particular cases, depending on, you know, what my schedule can handle at the time, but you know, but you learn how to dissociate yourself from emotions and physical wise and stuff like that. It's just something that you learn along the way. So, and you have to, otherwise they'll just completely ruin you. So,
well, I was going to say, I mean, if you kept taking this with you every time you did this, and you kept taking these emotions and these feelings and these thoughts with you, it seems like it would just pile up and pile up, and you'd lose your mind after a while, it seems to me.
Oh, for sure. Oh, for sure, yeah. Because, I mean, you do experience and see a lot of really bad things, you know. So it's not something that you're wanting to always remember and take with you. So.
I wouldn't. That's the thing I'm thinking is there'd be so many disturbing things. I mean, how would you disassociate yourself from that? It seems. I mean, it seems like it's imperative to do that. Or if you kept doing that, you would destroy yourself, like you say.
Well, exactly. Exactly. It's just something you learn along the way. So,
have you run into anything that you would consider a non-human entity?
I'm not sure of that. There's things that I've encountered that I wasn't quite sure exactly what I was encountering, you know, going into different investigations that I do and different homes and that sort of thing that I wasn't able to explain away, but nothing that I can personally say I've seen or experienced or anything else like that. I do believe, actually, that there are things out there that we just cannot explain, obviously. You know, and other, like, you know, people talk about UFOs or aliens and that sort of thing. And hey, we can't explain it away, so, you know, there's always that possibility, I suppose. But nothing that I've really seen personally, actually, so.
As far as a non-human, you said.
Right, well yeah. I was also thinking, you know, like, for example, we've talked a lot about the Amityville Horror case this weekend,
this very weekend.
It's something that Gowan's very, very,
interested in.
And I just was thinking, what if you were a psychic medium and you stepped in to investigate that particular event or a similar event,
and you
found something particularly nasty that you weren't prepared or didn't want to deal with or, you know, certainly didn't want to tick off.
That's what Mary Downey, the psychic.
That's what Mary Downey said.
She went through.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I asked that, Barb. I wasn't like, you know, ooh, I want to put her on the spot. I was really into that, asking that question for a reason, and I wanted to know.
Well, as far as profiling is concerned, I don't know if you want to do this or not, if you don't feel free. I'm just curious, because we don't do this very often when we talk to psychics on the show. But I know, I think you had a quick question. Then you
I want to know when I'm going to marry Jessica Alba. I need to know approximately when I got to have the ring bought.
Right.
Is this when or if?
He says when.
It's not a question of if. It's when.
I think I was like, he just needs to know when to pencil it in on his calendar.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You got to be ready.
there's nothing wrong with dreaming and hoping. You know?
What are you trying to tell me?
Just be straight up and blunt with it, hey?
I can take it. I'm a big boy. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think for Gowan.
Yeah. You know, I hate to say it, but I really don't see you marrying Jessica Alba.
Britney Spears?
Hey, you never know. No, future plans can change.
All you have to do is be on the right street corner at the right time. Britney Spears will pick you up.
Oh, my God!
Oh, Doug just took the cheap shot at Britney Spears.
Britney, call me. Yeah.
She will, too. I guarantee you.
I know.
She will.
Yeah.
That's the first time you'll call anybody out, Doug, and you'll actually get the phone call back from somebody.
Like, what did you say about me on your show?
She's a big fan of this show.
She listens to Ghostly Talk. I've heard Britney Spears just loves Ghostly Talk for some reason. Who knows? But I was going to say, joking aside, was there anybody here if you wanted to just do a little...
Don't call her on the spot like
that.
Well,
I don't want to call her on the
so
spot.
Mean.
I'm not trying to do that. I don't want to... that wasn't my intention, actually.
Because I'd rather hear about some of... Because one of the things on the list was some interesting cases. I want to know what's interesting to you, Barb.
Okay, that isn't open-ended or anything like that.
No, I do. I mean, because it tells me a lot about her.
Cool.
I mean, if she's interested in the blood and gore, or if she's interested in the okay, that was a bad way to start.
Feeding her.
Or if she's interested in the romantic ones where somebody reconnects with a lost love. Or,
oh, okay,
you know,
see what you're saying
what
completely.
What kind of
okay.
things really right. interest Barb Powell?
And that's actually a lot better. I agree. Thank you. You saved me, Doug. Thank you.
Because I like the romantic, you know, that kind of stuff. But I don't know what Barb likes, so I thought I'd ask.
Oh boy!
Welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Yeah, welcome.
Exactly. Hey, what an intro. oh boy. No, that's okay. Actually, I hate to say it, but I'm a really boring person. there's nothing really that exciting about me. I have a husband. I have two children. One on the way. And what I find interesting, well, you know what? Just basically spending time with my family, but. I do belong to an organization in the province that I'm in right now that does paranormal investigations. And
really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Have you gone out on ghost hunts or paranormal investigations?
At this time, I haven't. I've dealt with a lot of pictures and photo takings because they're working right now on different animal mutilations that cannot be explained right now.
Okay, now you've really piqued all of our interests, Barb.
Yeah, you're in trouble now.
Yeah, we're extending your hour to 2 hours. No, I'm telling you, here's the thing. The animal mutilations, they're not particularly, you know, like, they're something that some of us are interested in.
Right.
And because, you know, usually they say, oh, that's a chupacabra. Or, oh, that's a alien abduction. Or, oh, yeah. And they go on and they just, like, explain it away. But I would like to, I would really dig hearing what you come up with that kind of stuff. So as you work through those cases, will you keep us informed?
Oh, for sure.
Cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's an ongoing thing right now that they're dealing with, and they just started up an organization actually through Western Canada and throughout Canada actually to deal with this, because it's kind of sad, because I mean, a lot of times you don't really hear about things like this, because obviously, you know, the farmers aren't really wanting to get out in the media like, oh my goodness, I have a mutilated animal in my field that cannot be explained, because of, you know, people would obviously get scared and think, oh my goodness, what's wrong with the meat? And
what's wrong with his livestock?
And exactly. So, you know, it's basically getting the word out there as well that this is particularly happening, and trying to find out, obviously, is what our job is, what is actually going on. So, it's an ongoing investigation right now that we've been dealing with. So it's interesting, though. It's very interesting.
I want to keep informed on that. Yeah, it's the kind of thing that really gets me. You know, Bigfoot thought it was a tasty lamb or something. I want to know all about it. And
it makes you wonder if you can step into something like that.
Well, I know. So you're doing these investigations, and do you have you're doing that in particular? Or do you do ghosts as well?
Oh, I do pretty much everything. I mean, I never turn anything particularly down. I mean, people would either email me and say, can you actually do this? Well, I don't know. I can certainly try. I mean, you never know what you can do unless you actually try it and see what particularly happens, which is how I found out that I can actually read by photographs as well and by video. So it's kind of interesting, you know, and then I'll take a look at the material, and whether I take on the investigation or not, it just, you know, depends on what I think I can do, and go for it. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much open to almost anything, really.
That's fascinating. Have you heard about this thing called Nunavut?
Nunavut. It sounds familiar, but
it's
not.
It's this new Canadian province they invented a couple of weeks ago or something.
Nunavut.
What?
There used to be like 7 Canadian provinces or something, and I knew them all.
Uh-huh.
And then I woke up one day, we played Trivial Pursuit, and they go, oh, what is Nunavut? And it turns out it's a Canadian province, and I didn't believe them. So I looked it up online. There's a Canadian province called Nunavut.
Oh.
Nunavut.
I was shocked.
Nunavut.
They just made it up like last year or something. It just seems, you know, they're making these up as they go along. I haven't heard of a new American state in quite a while. Are there still 50? And
next to not so much. And where'd she go?
Right, it's kind of right. Yeah,
oh,
I'm having none of it. But no, none of it is a new Canadian province. Will and I were talking about that last night, as a matter of fact. I was shocked. But okay, so that's neither here nor there. When your paranormal investigation group, are you like, do you think you may end up going out in the field ever with them, and not like the field, you know, a farmer field, but more like okay, we've got this activity that cannot be explained. Can you come and see what it's like? Would you do something like that?
Oh, most definitely, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking forward to doing that, actually. So I'm the psychic medium of the actual group that takes the whole, you know, entire Saskatchewan. So they first go out, the investigators, I suppose, first go out and see if there's actually something there that could be investigated. So they root through all that. And because of my schedule, you know, I can't be not necessarily wasting my time, but if there's something out there, I'm definitely going to go out there and see what I can pick up as well. So they go out first and take a look around and see if it's legit or not, I suppose. You know, and then they'll invite me out or send photographs or what have you, depending on how far away it particularly is. But yeah, I would love to go out there. I can't wait to start doing that again. It's winter time down here right now, so you pretty much have to have a shovel and a plow to get anywhere,
we've escaped that. We're in the Detroit area, and we've escaped that so far.
Yeah, we haven't been. It has not been that too bad of a winter just yet.
Not yet.
Now we've said that we're going to leave tonight, and
there'll be 3 feet of snow.
No, yeah. I got to drive home tomorrow.
Yeah, you're gonna be plowing.
We'll attach
tomorrow.
The Malamutes
if you whip your way home
with the Santa's magic. I don't know. Anyway, okay.
I had to bring that up.
I know. That's from the first hour. Sorry, Barb. So what's on your agenda? Like, where do you see yourself, you know, like a year from now?
Oh, goodness. You know, continuing with what I'm doing. And then, like I said, I'm open to pretty much anything. So people who've either emailed me or phone called me and say, you know, can you do this, or would you be willing to do this, or write for this article or what have you. I certainly take a look at everything, and, you know, if it fits into my schedule, then I'll definitely do it. But I'm not a trade show type person, so I don't go out doing the trade show thing. So that's not what I'm about or who I particularly am, I don't feel. So I don't think I'll ever get into that. But continuing on with my business and, you know, doing the radio show thing and my articles that I write and continuing on with the book that I'm writing and go from there.
Ooh, wait, book? You're writing a book? What's it about? Tell me. Can we get you a hint? Just a hint.
I'm a procrastinator, so I'm still working on it. But the book is the book is pretty much basically just about my life, what I'm doing, my setbacks. Because, you know, a lot of the books that you read out there, I believe, on the paranormal or if you read a biography on a psychic medium, it seems so easy for people, you know. You're reading this and this is what happened to them and boom, this is where they're at. For me, it was never like that for me. Like I said, I struggled with this. I didn't know what it was. And to hone my skills and continue on to where I'm at right now wasn't always easy. So I wanted to write something that is a lot more honest and perhaps a lot more people who are going through the same exact things. Because, I mean, I'm just a person just like everybody else with different setbacks and having to deal with life issues as well. So I wanted to be a lot more personable, I guess, in the books that are out there. So.
Well, I really dig that, and I want to know more about that as it comes closer to fruition, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
I'm very
please.
Excited about that project and your paranormal investigator project. And of course, what you do, helping people, you know,
exactly.
Answering their questions, connecting with their loved ones and their donkeys. And I know it sounds like I said that flippantly, but I really mean it. I mean, you're helping people.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really dig that. Your website, of course, is www.sacred-connections. Right, connections.us.
Mm-hmm.
And even though you're in Saskatchewan.
Yeah, I don't know. How did you get
CA? Why did you get CA?
Yeah. Kind of weird.
Yeah, but you know what, though? It's kind of interesting. And, you know, maybe Canada, I guess this isn't at that particular point, but it seems that I get a lot of my clients, as well as authorities like detectives and police and that sort of thing, actually from the U.S., which is kind of strange to me. But,
yeah.
Hey, that's where all the TV shows come from, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. True.
Well, yeah, especially radio shows as well. It seems like it to be a lot more particularly open, I suppose. I'm not sure, but
we love to talk about this stuff.
We love to talk about this stuff. Exactly.
We love it. Barb Powell, thank you so, so much.
Yeah, unfortunately, we have to go to break now, but stay on the line.
We want you to stay on the line for a moment, though, okay?
Sure.
And don't forget, www.sacred-connections.us. It'll be permanently linked up on our website at www.ghostlytalk.com. And so we're going to take a break. We'll come back, of course. I'd like to thank Barb Powell.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we'll come back. We'll have Oliver Williams on the line.
Talking about John Teeter.
About John Teeter.
Wow.
And that, of course, is the time traveler who, you know, showed up and on the Internet. We'll talk about what the latest news
is. Yeah, the latest news. Latest news, exactly. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott Allen.
I'm Doug.
And I'm Gowan.
We'll be right back after this.